the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido, Damian Collado, and our production crew, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's Friday.
Or as the young folk like Gabby say.
It's actually almost Mother's Day.
It is almost Mother's Day. Last night was the Mother's Mass, Senior Mass for St. Michael in Baton Rouge.
So beautiful.
My daughter and I went to that. It was a lovely mass. Beautiful. It was
Where
at St. George. At home eating leftovers. We went out to dinner after and it was lovely.
They said, hey, we got till Sunday.
That's right. We'll see that lady another time. Anyway. All right, y'all, let's pray.
Right.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, Lord, we pray, that being rightly conformed to the Paschal mysteries, what we celebrate and joy may protect and save us with perpetual power. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. St. Rose Venerini.
St. Rose Venerini.
Yes. Venerini. Pray for us.
Yeah.
You just wouldn't come out, y'all.
No trouble with the French names, but when it comes to the Italian ones, you got to
true
the fault
story,
to me
right?
Over here.
I know.
Well, Alicia didn't have any of Teresa's walnut zucchini bread.
But I did.
Yes, Gabby,
yes.
I'm sorry you missed out on it.
Delicious. Yes. I had a big piece yesterday she brought it in.
Teresa, God love you. She made 36 loaves.
Oh, my goodness.
The Altar Society is having a cake sale at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville. So thank you, Teresa, for that lovely gift of food.
Yes, and we snuck one in the freezer, so we'll have it for drive time.
Yes, yeah.
I'll be there.
One for drive time. Yep, delicious. Thank you, Teresa. So thoughtful.
Yes. Thank you so much. We are joined by some wonderful guests today. Eric Miller with the Louisiana State Council Knights of Columbus joins us. He's a state advocate. He's going to give us his monthly update real quick. We have author Paul Chaloux. He's talking about his book called Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Protect Us. So I'm looking forward to talking about this book. We hear this all the time. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie, is going to give us a recipe for the weekend. And Jeff, Ashley Dean, singer-songwriter with Novum Records, has a new single called Rise. We're going to be listening to it a little bit and talking to her.
Yeah, we're going to ooh and ah over that. We might even sing along with her.
If everyone's lucky, we won't. Right? Damien and I have already been told we can't sing anymore.
I used to win lip singing.
We sang that one VBS song and we got the from the boss man.
Oh, yeah. And I can't carry a tune in a 55-gallon drum.
So,
let's talk about the weather. Is going to be spectacular right on through the weekend. Sunny skies today and tomorrow. Highs are going to be in the mid-80s, the lows near 60. And then Mother's Day, partly cloudy, and it'll be a pretty nice day most of the day. Just a slight chance of afternoon showers and a little bit warmer. Presently, we have clear skies clean across the Gulf Coast. 66 in New Orleans. It's 59 in Houma, 60 degrees in Baton Rouge, and Pascagoula reporting in at 58 degrees on this lovely Friday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
I love Karen's sound effects.
Yeah.
I know, me too. I can hear them as well. Oh, my goodness.
Don't
I'm so glad.
Don't have to worry about singing in the rain this weekend, I can assure you.
Oh, I'm so glad it's going to be good weather, you guys. I'm going to be with a beach chair with some tan accelerator and a sandwich. That's going to be my Mother's Day. I'm so excited. And we have your gospel and reflection after the break at 7:05 on Wake Up.
Music. Good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The importance of John's gospel, chapter 15, is attested by the fact that this is the second of three weekday readings that the church has us reflect on. Today's gospel opens this vital passage with the words, "This is my commandment, love one another as I love you," and closes with the charge, "This I command you, love one another." Our love for one another is manifested in how we believe and behave toward each other, even when our feelings are pulling us in the opposite direction. Therefore, in his hymn of love in his letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul describes our love for each other in this way. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices at the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. How are we doing when we examine our behavior by these criteria? For example, how patient, kind, not jealous, nor boastful are we? What do we endure for others? The Bible also teaches us that our love for God is demonstrated by obedience. This is challenging enough in itself until we come back to Jesus' words in today's gospel and recognize that the most difficult commandment is loving one another as I have loved you. In case we are slow to getting the message, Jesus added, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for one's friends." Jesus said this during the Last Supper, shortly before he went to his passion and death for our sake. He calls us friends, but it was our sins that nailed him to the cross, and it was his love that kept him there. Loving this way is not difficult. It's impossible. Only grace makes the impossible possible. That needed transformation that gives us the boost we need occurs in the worthy reception of the Eucharist, because that is where we abide in Jesus. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. And it is 7:11 here on Wake Up. Good morning to you. It's a beautiful Friday morning. I hope everyone has an opportunity to get out there and really enjoy it today. And as always, at the beginning of the month, we have a special guest by the name of Eric Miller, who is the state advocate for the Louisiana State Council with the Knights of Columbus. He likes to give us an update, and we'd like to hear about what's going on with the Knights throughout South Louisiana and also in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So, but in particular, Louisiana. Eric, good morning to you, and what's cooking, brother?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. Hopefully today I'll enjoy the outdoors. I'm actually in Alaska.
So wow. Very early.
You must be doing some fishing or something.
Just some sightseeing, visiting our niece who's in the Air Force up here.
Wow.
And so just got away. But tonight we just had our 116th annual convention and had our new elected state officers, and so our new state deputy is George Martin, and so we congratulate him on being elected as the state deputy, and to our other state officers who were elected, so that was very exciting. We do have our Knights on Bikes, rally coming up on May 17th that I mentioned last month. So if anyone has any questions about the rally coming up, they can actually just email the organizer at LouisianaKnightsOnBikes@gmail.com. And then in June, on June 5th, the Knights of Columbus are supporting the Louisiana Special Olympic State Games. And that'll be on Saturday, June 5th from 8 to 5 at Christ Episcopal School in Covington, Louisiana. And they can contact Vaughn Gibson at KFC1819@gmail.com if they have any questions about the Louisiana Special Olympics or if they'd like to participate and assist in those state games. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have going on coming up immediately. So a lot of stuff. Again, you know, a lot of councils have fundraisers going on.
Sure.
So if anyone has any questions or wants to get involved, please be on the lookout for those events in the parish.
Now, look, just for clarification, the Knights on Bikes, we're not talking pedal bikes here, right?
No. We're not talking pedal bikes. But it's actually we're hosting the national rally. So they have Knights of Columbus members coming down from all over the United States and Canada. Well, I think Canada is going to appear virtually. I'm not sure the folks from Canada can get out and back very easily across the border. But yeah, it's being held in Kenner, Louisiana. So we're very, very excited about that.
So just a rough estimate, how many bikers are we talking here? This sounds like somebody like the state troopers are going to have to lead you guys from point A to point B. Where are y'all heading from Kenner?
So there's a couple of rides planned. I know one is going across the river and a little south, and I think the other one would be going north up around the lake, Ponchatoula area. Then there will be meetings to elect new state national offices, I believe. Last numbers I saw were 100 plus.
Nice.
Guys,
great.
Good. Well, y'all be safe, and all you other drivers be aware of those motorcyclists. Those are Knights of Columbus and good guys. We're going to be back with more on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 7th. Today we celebrate Saint Rose Venerini. Our plans are not always God's plans. That certainly was the case for Rose Venerini. Born in Italy in 1656, she saw her future in marriage. Following the unexpected death of her fiancé, she entered a convent. After only a few months, it became necessary for her to return home to care for her newly widowed mother. Meanwhile, Rose found a way to nourish herself and others spiritually at home. She invited women of the neighborhood to recite the rosary with her. A spiritual bond developed among them. Over time, Rose heard the call to become a teacher in the world rather than return to the convent. She proved to be a born teacher. The free school for girls she opened in 1685 was a success. As her reputation grew, she was called to help train teachers and to organize more schools in many parts of Italy, including Rome. Following her death in Rome in 1728, a number of miracles were attributed to her. Rose Venerini was beatified in 1952. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Morning. You're listening to Wake Up at 7:18. So glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quipido, Damian Collado, and our wonderful, hardworking production crew, Jeff Blackwell and Karen Cotton. And catch daily mass today at noon, followed by the rosary. Divine Mercy Chaplet with Kitty Cleveland is at 3 p.m. Highly recommend. It's about 10 minutes It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to listen to that. Kitty Cleveland is absolutely spectacular. And on Sundays, you can catch Mass live at 10:30 a.m. at Our Lady of Mercy in Baton Rouge. That's on 1380 a.m. And 105.9 FM. And on 690 a.m., 11 a.m. Mass at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. So we have something for every market in every area.
That's right. And Mass stations. Is every Monday through Friday at noon.
And every minute
today.
Of the day.
That's right.
Around the clock
Friday,
and around
Friday.
The world.
Yeah. Well, I do want to say this for our Kitty Cleveland fans.
Oh.
Kitty doesn't sing the chaplet. She sings a song after, but the first time I listened, I was waiting for her to sing it.
Yeah.
Yes. But she sings a beautiful song after.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It is lovely.
Yes. It sure is. Yes. And our summer drive time is coming up Tuesday, June 1st through Thursday, June 3rd. We rely on listener donations during our drive time. We will have guests every hour to help us raise money and continue to bring the gospel message to you. So save those dates, June 1st through June 3rd. And last but not least, follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio and on Twitter at LA Catholic Radio. All right, you guys, we're going to learn a little bit about suffering because we've all been there. And I'm excited to talk to our next guest, Paul Chaloux. He's author of Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffering to Protect Us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. It's so good to have you with us today. This is such an interesting topic because we hear it all the time. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why is God allowing this? You know, why do we have to suffer? And then everyone has their own opinion on how we should give it up to God and, and do all the wonderful things. So break it down for us, Paul. Tell us about your book.
Well, the book is Why All People Suffer, and it describes God's mercy and love for mankind, actually. Suffering is, I've found, is more than, it's different than most people think. Most people think it's an evil. Mm-hmm. It's not an evil. It's an evil detector.
Right.
It tells it tells us when we are in the presence of evil, something that's threatening us. An evil actually is just the absence of good, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Catholic teaching, there's no evil. It's not opposing good. It's the absence of good.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So when God gives us suffering, what he's doing is he's telling us that we're in the presence of something that's dangerous for our souls.
Mm.
And so you think you get it differently. God is protecting our souls, and his goal is to bring us back to heaven. He's like the prodigal, the father and the prodigal son, where he's waiting for the son.
Right.
And embraces him with open arms, despite all the sins the son created. Same thing for God. He's doing the same thing for us. He's the father in that parable. So if you think about that, you know, suffering is, if you're hungry, you lack food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the hunger that's giving you the problem. It's the lack of food. So it's a warning sign.
Mm. Oh, sure. That
and,
makes sense.
And
wow.
You know, if you're lonely, you need companionship. You need something that's bad. You don't need, it tells you not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's in every case, it's a warning sign, something that we need to avoid.
Hmm.
And it's harsh because it needs to make us avoid it. If it was pleasant, we would gravitate to that stuff, right?
Sure.
But it pushes it away.
Yes.
What's interesting in your book, you make mention that if suffering were to be abolished, no one would be saved.
Well, that's right, because you wouldn't know what was bad for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's an interesting insight.
So that's the whole piece of it, is that once you start understanding that God is good and there's no malice in God, that he loves you and he wants you back, then you can start thinking about this in a different way.
Yes.
And you start thinking that he's protecting us because he's identifying to us when things are bad, what things are bad for us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it can be,
you know... I've learned this from Louis Prejean, joy in the midst of suffering all the time. He would always say, ye of little faith. And I'm like, well, I'm just a little stressed right now, you know? Louis did such a great job with bringing joy into the midst of suffering. So how can we do that? Because that takes a lot of practice, Paul.
Well, it just takes a change of attitude.
Yeah.
You know, if you're thinking about, you know, God is punishing me or God is, he's not doing that. He's calling you. And in fact, every bit of suffering is a message from God. He's telling us what's bad for us. And we can be his messengers to other people by telling them what our own suffering and, mm-hmm. and identify. And that way we are all messengers of God. We share our suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you say evil detector, what exactly do you mean? Why suffering is not evil, but rather an evil detector?
So what I mean by that is that it tells you when you suffer, you're feeling, you're detecting evil, something that's bad in your life. So let's take a few simple examples. If you eat something that's bad for you, you feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's telling you that, yes. that's bad for you. If you treat somebody badly, they'll be upset that they're suffering, and that will affect you too. And so you detect that evil, that evil is being the absence of good, right?
Not,
mm-hmm.
And so
wow.
And so it detects evil for you. It tells you when something's not going well. And when you do something, if you do something at work that causes suffering, you know that's your detector. You've done something wrong.
Yes. This is such an interesting perspective because I know so many people believe that suffering is God's way of punishing. And I know we're taught, you know, that God doesn't punish us, you know. So I love this new perspective. I've never heard it mm-hmm. explained this way.
Let me tell you something else. God does punish us, but his punishment is to build up, not to break down.
Right, right. Yes.
So,
wow.
So what inspired you to write this book?
Well, that's an interesting story in itself. You know, I was an engineer at IBM for years. I was also a catechist.
Okay.
And toward the end of my tenure at IBM, I started feeling that I needed to do something more spiritual. And my DRE was suggesting to me that I extend my catechism skills beyond the parish. So mm-hmm. I started looking to become I had a dream, an honest to God dream that told me I should be a teacher of teachers. Wow. So I started pursuing that, and I got a master's at Fordham, and then I 6 years ago I got accepted at Catholic University for its catechetics program for a doctorate.
Wow!
And I was 55 years old at the time.
That's
I sold my house, quit my job, and then I got diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Okay.
The week that I was moving, I got diagnosed with Parkinson's. So the rest of the story is that I went to a doctor in Washington, you know, in Arlington, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked me what I did, and I said, I'm going to be studying theology at the Catholic University. And she said, well, tell me why people suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, why do people suffer? Everybody asks me that question. I don't have an answer. Nobody ever has an answer for that. She said, you should study that. I said, well, I came to study morality. And she said, well, this is more important. And she pressed it on me, and it just stuck in my head. And then I started pursuing it, and, you know, and things just kept falling in place. And, you know, obviously God wanted this because it just kept falling in place. Everything. I got pushed mm-hmm. out of catechetics because the program kind of died for a year into moral theology, which allowed me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Here I am, you know, 5 years later.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Paul, the ultimate question is, how do you find joy from suffering? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've done a great job getting us mm-hmm. to that point, but the suffering doesn't just go away once you identify with it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, but here's the deal. If you understand why you're suffering and mm-hmm. you start piecing together that it's part of God's plan, you can start recognizing that you're part of God's plan. Mm-hmm. And when you joy is the feeling you get when you are getting spiritual gain.
Yeah, in union yes. with God.
Yes.
And there's four tasks of suffering that mm-hmm. I outline in my book. The first one is to build this virtue within you, and that's the mm-hmm. simple feedback loops of, you know, you do something and it doesn't work for you, so you do something else. Mm-hmm. That's the feedback loop to build your virtue. And then there's reorienting you to God, and then mm-hmm. there's unleashing your love of neighbor because you start seeing them suffer and you start wanting to participate in helping mm-hmm. them. And the last mm-hmm. one of those is when you're suffering and you recognize that you're suffering for the benefit of others, mm-hmm. that's redemptive.
Okay.
You almost get a feeling of peace, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
You do. And so that teaches you four ways to love, right? It teaches you to love yourself, love God, love your neighbor, and then love as Jesus did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's the ultimate. And that's where joy comes.
Paul, you've given me just a different perspective on the word suffering and our faith, and I appreciate you joining us, and you can count on our prayers. Paul Shalhoub, author of Why All People Suffer, How a Loving God Uses Suffer to Perfect Us. Paul, where can we pick up a copy of your book?
You can get it anywhere books are sold, but I would tell you that you can order from Sophia Press. It's on sale right now.
Okay.
At Sophia Press.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, I got the catalog in the other night.
There you go.
Yes. And I posted the link in the comment section. SophiaInstitute.com is where you can go. Also check out your local Catholic bookstore. Thank you so much, Paul. Wonderful insights. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking to Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. He has a recipe to try this weekend. It is 7:30 on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. The Texas State House is moving a heartbeat abortion ban one step closer to Governor Greg Abbott's desk. If reconciled with a Senate version of the bill and signed into law, it would abolish elective abortions as early as 6 weeks gestation when a heartbeat may be detected. Invoking the word science, one Texas abortionist is trying to say that a six-week child's developing heartbeat is different. But pro-life advocates say the heart is human, not anything else, with four chambers, the same four it could have years from now, beating just like yours, and it is growing. That is the scientific pro-life point. This is a real child, really growing. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org. In two other stories, North Carolina is working on protections for those who, like Melissa Oden and others, survive abortion attempts. And a skilled surgical and nursing team performs this particular surgery between 23 and 26 weeks gestation. Anesthesia for the mother and child, an opening in mother's abdomen, position the baby just right, and repair spina bifida. One London hospital is justly bragging of this surgery bringing wonderful healing 32 times in just over a year. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 7:35. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio, and I wish the camera was on Damien because he's dancing. He's happy it's Friday.
That song gives me happy feet.
I'm Alicia Quibido with Damien Collado and Gabby Smith, and in production, Karen Cotton and Jeff Blackwell. And it's Friday, and y'all know I have to get my recipe for the weekend, although maybe this weekend I won't be cooking, right?
No, somebody.
Mother's Day.
Well, if Jeff's smart. Oh. Mm-hmm. It will be an easy recipe. Not that any of
Jeff
them are complicated.
Jeff is smart.
But it'll be an easy recipe for dad or the boys.
There you go.
Or your daughter.
Now, you know, my Stephen is a
for
is
any
a
of our kids
cook.
To put together.
So that's right. Well, we're joined this morning by, as we are every Friday, by Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
You have big plans to celebrate Char on Sunday?
You know, it's funny when we, of course we do. Of course we do.
Good answer.
An idea or recipe for Mother's Day. I mean, the truth is, I mean, it's whatever Mama wants. Right?
You're a smart man, Steve.
There is no one recipe. It's ask her what she wants.
There you go.
And then just do it. Whatever it is, just do it.
Okay, so what does Mama want from Jeff?
Well, you know, one thing that we love to be outside.
Mm.
And we try to spend as much time as possible outside. So we're really blessed. We like to take walks together. We'll go walking and you know, do 2, 3, 4 miles or something, you know, and talk and walk. Oh. And we have our backyard set up with a little little table out back with an umbrella, so she'll spend time in the morning or evening out there, and just love to spend time outside. So what we're thinking of doing is packing up some sort of a lunch. I have an idea I'm going to share with y'all in a minute.
Okay.
And heading out to the Boga Chitta Park, State Park.
Okay.
Which is only about half an hour or so away from here.
Okay.
And, yeah, they got lots of, we got trails we could walk, we have all of that, but they also have a little play area and a water slide. So Zelly gets to be happy.
There you go.
And Mama gets to be happy, which means that we're all going to be happy.
That's right. I love it. That's great. So what are you packing for your Mother's Day lunch on that outing?
Well, what I have been thinking, what I'm going to share with you today, because, you know, we're getting into that. It's spring. We're getting close to summer. And we have all these wonderful summer vegetables in Louisiana. And, you know, the vegetables aren't necessarily on a time clock, right? They sometimes these seasons, we kind of say that there's always Creole tomato season, right? Well,
yeah,
they can come a little early if they want to, you know, and they can stick around a little longer if they want to.
That's right.
So it's not written in stone necessarily, but we have Creole tomatoes coming up. We have all the summer squashes and all of that. And so one of the things that I'm going to do for Sunday, and this is something that packs easy as well. That's important if you're going to be going out and eating outside, is stuffed bell peppers.
Ooh.
All right.
And the kind that we're going to do, because, I mean, people, you hear that, stuffed bell peppers around these parts, right? I mean, it's not uncommon.
Yeah.
And they typically have a Cajun Creole flair to them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same basic concept, but this is more of a Lebanese style.
Okay.
Stuffed bell peppers. You can do the same thing with squash. We love to use those little yellow squash. A little extra effort has to go into doing the squash because you have to core them.
Yeah.
It takes a little finesse, I think, sometimes to do that without tearing through them.
Yeah.
But you're basically using the same stuffing you would in either one. And the stuffing, and this is the recipe I'm going to give you and the one that I'm going to share with you that you can post. It's about 10 bell peppers, okay? But you can do... you can do less. You can just adjust that recipe. So you need bell peppers. You need some petite diced tomatoes. I use a 28-ounce can because some of that is going to go into the stuffing, which the Lebanese term for that is the meshi, right? The meat and rice and the tomatoes and all of that.
Okay.
5 to 6 cloves of garlic, 2 pounds of ground beef. You can do lamb if you like. We do have done that on occasion, but we'll do beef here. A cup of long grain white rice, 1/2 stick of butter softened, 1.5 tablespoons of kosher salt, cayenne pepper, about a teaspoon to taste. Allspice, about a teaspoon of allspice, the juice of 1 lemon, 3 or 4 sprigs of fresh mint chopped, and 2 quarts of either beef or chicken stock.
Okay.
Just enough to cover the peppers. Now, we like to make these in a big pot on the stove.
Oh,
but if you don't have a pot big enough for that, you can do it in a big pan and then just cover it with foil, stick that in the oven and cook them that way.
That's usually how we do it.
Right. Yeah. That's
but I love the ingredients.
Right. Yeah.
On the diced tomatoes, you drain the liquid from the can or you throw that in there since you need it to mix everything?
Well, when I'm making the meshi, because that's the first thing you're going to do. You're making the insides, right? You just it's super easy. You just combine everything in a bowl and mix it with your hands. It's not that complicated, right? So that's going to be the rice, the ground beef, the garlic.
Okay.
We use about 1/2 the tomatoes, and when I do that, I drain them.
You do?
Yeah.
Right? I drain the tomatoes that go into the... Now, I don't have to discard that liquid.
Right.
The liquid could be strained right back into the can, and that... The remaining tomatoes go into the pot or into the pan along with the stock. Okay.
There you
so
go.
That liquid can go back in.
Okay. So how interesting. So the allspice, that's because as you were listing the ingredients, I was thinking, well, this sounds kind of like a stuffed bell pepper, but the Lebanese part is when you get to the allspice, the mint sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. A little lemon.
Right.
Yeah, and the lemon. And that's what else. Yeah.
And the lemon and the allspice is a substitute for what we would really want to use, which is something called a seven spice.
Oh, okay.
And seven spice is, and I don't want to be put on the spot to name all seven because I will remember them all.
That was, you know, that was going to be my next question. No, I'm kidding.
But and I can look it up. I have to look it up. But seven spice is the traditional seven spices that would be used in Middle Eastern cooking, and some of the Middle Eastern stores will have a container of that on hand, just like in Chinese restaurants or food, they'll have a five spice,
mm-hmm.
right?
Hmm.
The same concept, it's seven spice. And allspice is an easy substitute for that.
Oh,
but also the thing that I didn't mention is we serve this with ladmi, which is a full fat yogurt.
Okay.
If you get the true Middle Eastern Labneh, it's like a full-fat Greek yogurt. Wonderfully delicious. But we'll take that and we'll mix it with lemon juice.
Ooh.
And maybe even a dash of salt. And you could use that and kind of dip your pepper. You know, each bite of it, we'll put it on the plate with the pepper. And you could take dip each bite. It's just beautiful.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
That's a lot better than ketchup.
right. Yeah.
Ketchup and yogurt.
For sure. Wow, Jeff, that's delicious. That sounds wonderful. I think that might be something.
And I'm
we need
glad
to
you recommended a recipe of 10, Jeff, because, you know, she only has five in her family. And then there's five
that's
of us
right.
over here. And doing the math,
right.
10 works out beautifully. You see?
We were thinking ahead.
Amen,
you
brother.
You sure were. Okay, now let me ask you this about transporting. I'm envisioning it being a little saucy with all that liquid. Does the pepper absorbs all the liquid?
No, there's still going to be some liquid in the bottom of the pan or in the you know, it's funny because if we do it on the stovetop, it's the same thing if you've ever had grape leaves. You know, we love doing grape leaves. Matter of fact,
that's yummy.
Just the past few weeks, we harvested probably, I don't know, close to 500 leaves.
Ooh.
You know, we have my mother-in-law has a vine in her backyard, and just spending time over there on the weekends, and we've been able to harvest about 500 leaves.
Wow.
Anyway, point is that it's another one pot type of a deal, right? And it's the same thing. That liquid is going to be in the pot. If it's there, just a couple of tricks. If the pot has cooled down enough, then you're going to transport it, right?
Ooh,
if the pot has cooled down enough, just put some plastic wrap down, put the lid back on top. It's going to help to keep it in there.
Or throw them in the oven.
Delicious.
That way.
Thank you, Jeff Young. Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. Check him out at CatholicFoodie.com. Thanks so much, Jeff. It is 7:45 on Wake Up.
Just a little driving music there for you.
All right.
You got your blinker on
a Friday,
Got your Friday music going.
Oh, let's talk weather for the weekend, this Mother's Day weekend. Sunny today and tomorrow. It is going to be just absolutely pleasant, darling. Yes, with a high in the mid-80s, the overnight low near 60, and then partly cloudy and a little bit warmer on Mother's Day and a slight chance of afternoon showers. So soak up the weekend. Right now, Pastor Pagula is at 58 degrees. We need to check what the temp is in Atlanta. For that, we go to the phone, and Ashley Dean reporting in. Ashley, what's the temperature in Atlanta?
Hi. I don't know exactly, but it's nice and sunny here.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's close enough. Ashley Dean, of course, is the daughter of Janice Dean, the weather forecaster from Canada. No, you're not, are you?
No, not so much, no.
Okay. Any kin to the sausage maker, Jimmy? Jimmy Dean?
Not related to him either. My father's name is actually James Dean, though.
Is that right? Yeah, that was
that
a great
is
actor.
Correct, yes. In college, he went by Jimmy. So technically, I'm related to two famous people. But
there you go.
At the same time, not.
Yeah, don't get her started on Paula. Paula Dean.
Yeah. She's distant cousin we don't talk about.
Okay. Well, Ashley Dean is a Catholic musician, songwriter, worship leader. I mean, you're just an immensely talented soul. And we're so delighted to have you on Wake Up this morning because you have a new song out.
I do, yes. It's called Rise. Mm-hmm. It's my first fully solo track out. I've done a lot of collaborations with people, and but this is my first full solo track, and it's based on a very intimate kind of prayer with the Lord that I was actually looking yesterday. It's kind of from a reading I found about 5 or 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And from Holy Saturday, from Office of Readings, where it's an ancient homily that kind of puts everything together of the Lord's sacrifice for us and the redemption, you know, in salvation history in about 5 lines. It's amazing. And also just on Thomas and Thomas's doubting. Just so in the song, it's see my face, see my side, hold my hands pierced by you. So just coming to this realization that the Lord has not only has he a sacrifice, but he's also within that, he's gently coming back to me and saying, hey, like, I'm coming for you. And so it's kind of like a love song at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. So
and that is a powerful four-letter word, rise. Mm-hmm. And and in fact, why don't we listen to a little bit of the song? We don't have time to play the whole song, but I want our listeners to enjoy it. This is Ashley Dean and her new song, Rise.
Earth is still, fast asleep.
How we can actually own it or hear the whole song.
Yeah, well, anywhere you get your music nowadays, it is there. So if you stream on Spotify, Amazon Music, all of those places, you can find it. Rise by my name, Ashley Dean.
Mm-hmm. Ashley's got a really cool website, too. And I love the logo of the A and D, your initials. But Ashley DeanMusic.com is where you can find out more about Ashley. But let's change lanes a little bit because I was on Facebook yesterday and I saw this guy on his knee holding out a ring and you were just giddy about it. So what's going on?
A little bit. Yes, that is my fiance, Thomas Coppola. I'm engaged and currently in the middle of wedding planning for two wedding celebrations, one actual wedding.
Yeah.
due to COVID, we split it up into two. So we're going to have the actual wedding here in Atlanta and then a vow renewal and celebration in Florida where his family is.
Oh, wonderful.
So, Ashley, I have to ask you. Yeah, I know with a voice like that, you have sung at a lot of weddings. If not, you should.
Yes.
And second, will you be singing at your own wedding?
That is the most popular question from people, actually. And I think it might become a yes.
I think that would be beautiful.
Yeah, wouldn't it be?
Now, can... Yeah, I mean, you could come up with a great song. Now, does your fiance sing?
So he plays guitar. So we're actually talking about, we're going to play, he's going to play the Ave Maria, and I'm going to sing as our song to Mary.
Oh, there you go. That's what I was, how beautiful is that going to be?
Yeah, really excited to do that. So
I just, to Ashley, I just got those Holy Ghost bumps right there now. That's beautiful. By the way, now, Ashley, you're also part of a team, Onward and Upward, and we actually play Onward and Upward on our online radio station, Overflow. Are you guys still together? Is James Perkins and Ashley Dean combo is Onward and Upward?
Yes, we are still a combo, Honor and Upward. We're actually soon going to be doing kind of going to be morphing a little bit into a little bit more live worship. We do live worship and go to events and things like that, but soon there might be some things coming out from Honor and Upward, so stay tuned.
Great. Yeah.
Related to that, that we're kind of expanding it a little bit.
All right.
Beyond just the two of us.
Oh, beautiful. You guys are so talented, and I know it's been really tough for people who make a living as praise and worship leaders during this COVID time. You remain in our prayers, and you can find out more too at novumrecords.com, but ashleydeanmusic.com is where you can find out more about this girl.
Wow.
We're proud of you.
Beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations on your new song and on your engagement.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's one big, crazy, exciting time.
That's right. That's right.
You will have stories to tell, my dear.
That's
you.
Oh, yes.
God bless you, and thank you for being with us this morning on Wake Up.
Thank you. God bless you guys as well. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Sounds great. Music is just
so moving.
Pacifies
really,
the heart, I know,
right.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
Prayer does too.
Absolutely.
So we're going to wrap up this week in this hour, which has been a fast one, with our prayer to St. Joseph, the Memorare to St. Joseph, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most chaste spouse of the Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who implored your help or sought your intercession were left unassisted. Full of confidence in your power, I fly unto you and beg your protection. Despite not, O guardian of the Redeemer, my humble supplication, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
St. Joseph, pray
for us
and protect us and protect those mamas out there.
Damien.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Friday, a great weekend, and happy Mother's Day. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.